What's up, everybody? My name is Topher Welsh. Welcome to the Glitch Podcast. I'm here with my co-host,
Eugene Kappen.
And we are graced with the presence of Deputy Geek. How's it going, man?
How's it going, guys?
Not bad, not bad. So tell the people who you are. I've watched a couple of your videos and stuff. I know you stream. But, you know, give us the rundown of what you do, what you're all about.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. I'm basically a streamer. I've gone through quite an evolution since I began. I started about, it's going on about a year and a half, 2 years now. Yeah. Started with just a couple TV trays, a monitor, and a mouse and keyboard, and started playing, and now it's evolved into a much more bigger, expensive hobby for me, getting partnered over on Mixer. Like I was talking about earlier, building a stream, my own dedicated stream box and all that kind of stuff. And now I'm just trying to, basically evolve beyond just one platform.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, it's really exciting because the industry at this point is getting very competitive. There's a lot of options, and it's just seeing where people are going and what they're doing. And I'm just trying to kind of make sure I keep up with all of it at this point.
Are you trying to like make sure that you're doing like more video game streaming on all the different game streaming platforms? Or are you like exploring like real life streaming or more vlogging, things like that, as well as streaming? Or do you like just stick around the gaming aspects?
Yeah. So right now I stick around the gaming aspect. I was primarily a Fortnite streamer, and, I've come to the realization there's kind of three key things that you kind of need to have. It's entertainment value, gameplay ability, like just your, you know, to be able to competitively play. Yep. Gotta get good. And then sort of, I guess if not like informational, right? If you're really good at the game, be able to teach and instruct and talk about that particular community and what it's about. And for Fortnite, I realized I'm not going to be that competitive guy. I was like the guy you'd come and play with and we'd have a good time. But that really wasn't a long-term plan. It wasn't going to last. So recently, I got into Realm Royale, and I'm really happy with it. My ability to play the game is I'm not going to brag, but I'm pretty decent at the game. And it's helped me out a lot. It's helped my channel out a lot. The community's great. So we're primarily there now, but I think one of the things I've been talking with Eugene about is just kind of the social media aspect of things, right? So I would like to get into some, I think, to be able to connect more a little bit with like the IRL type of streaming. And I'm a business professional by day, streamer by night, so I don't necessarily drive around looking
right.
As I do right now. So that's been a challenge for me on the social media side of things, you know, just kind of trying to show a glimpse of me, but it's still, the mystique is still there because nobody really knows. You know?
Are you stifled in your real life? Like you can't be like who you are on stream in your real life because of your job, or?
A little bit, you know, and that's kind of there was two necessities out of, becoming like, you know, the Bro Nation and this.
I love the Bro Nation.
Part of it is, you know, I was on Twitch when I started, and getting unburied, getting recognized, having somebody stop and click on my channel over the thousands of other people, even in a small game. It was kind of a strategy there. And then also it was, being in the industry that I am full time, even family and friends, when you tell them what you do, they don't always really understand what it is. You know,
no,
you tell them, they think you're just, you know, goofing off. And then that's why I put as much into my channel as I do, the equipment and the overlays and all that, because to me, it's a business, it's a entertainment industry. And, but it doesn't matter if you're from the outside looking in, you just look like a, you know, guy playing video games on a camera. And so I don't want to ever have that kind of conflict. So it's been kind of also an incognito thing for me as well.
Have you gotten recognized?
No, and that was one thing. It's sort of, some people are like, you know, that's actually kind of good that you do that, because then you have that ability to kind of hide. Because I was talking about I'm probably looking to go to PAX East. And I was like, you know what? If I don't dress up and I don't wear my headband on, like I can walk around PAX. Nobody would even know who I am, I would imagine.
You just got to put a suit on and you know, maybe a baseball hat, and away you go.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess it gives me options. But then, you know, like I said, the IRL portion of things, like, it's not like I'm going to be, you know, boop, popping a selfie here. Hold on, let me break out my, you know, stuff. So. But you have guys like Dr. Disrespect that, you know, they make it work, so. But it's it's a very narrow community there.
So you've been talking about jumping onto Instagram and growing your Instagram lately. Mm-hmm. What are you doing for that? Are you just like, hey, let me take a selfie in the full outfit? Or is it like you have a friend who's a photographer and you go like batch a bunch of photos and you release them over time? Or are you just like putting up memes? Like, what's your current strategy?
Yeah, I think option C there was probably that's kind of my strategy. It's weird. It's for me, it's actually been kind of fun, because Twitter I kind of took more seriously as a tool to alert and kind of communicate with my community and my followers. And so I've kind of taken that more rigid. Instagram for me has been kind of an experiment. I just set it up because you got to have it. And then I didn't really do much with it. Now I've just been kind of throwing stuff out there, and it's more of a reflection of like what's in my head and what my interests are. So yes, like I'm a big fan of memes. I just have to say that. So like, yeah, there is a lot. Like if I come across something like, oh man, this is super funny, I'm going to share it out. Or, you know, I try to do some selfies and some pictures of my setup and kind of help people get a visual glimpse a little bit more behind the scenes. But it's kind of like if you scroll, I'll be honest, it looks a little bit messy, but you know, I don't have the professional photography and all the stuff lined up. You know, I get the good shot. Like today, I had a really nice dinner, we made it home, we snap picture, share. Everybody loves that, you know.
Okay.
But
I always see like your brand, and I think like, you know, what are some other people that kind of go for the extreme in like the same way you do? And like the Fat Jew comes to mind.
Yes. And actually, that's what got me kind of more motivated to get involved with Instagram, because on the Netflix special, they had he was in it.
Instafamous?
Yeah. Was the episodal one. And then they had I can't even remember what it was called, but it had like Paris Hilton and a lot of the big and, you know.
Yeah.
Whoever else on there. So like I kind of was like, wow, okay, it's actually kind of a powerful tool to me. It was just like a collage of pictures, and I didn't realize what was there. And so I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna screw around with it, you know. And
I love the part where it's Fat Jew and Paris Hilton together, and they're pitching baby clothing and and baby vodkas.
I very vaguely remember this.
Yeah, and I was just like, you know, and it's amazing the power of that platform, because then they're like, then all of a sudden this buzz happens, and then they're like, well, wow, they just created a market, you know, like they could have this demand for a product. And then they had, I just watched that Fire Festival documentary. And I see, because I wasn't involved with Instagram, I had no idea. I was like, this is kind of interesting, let me check it out. And I was just like, oh my God, that something could be created to that scale out of nothing just by basically Instagram.
Right. Using influencers to their like full potential, basically.
Yeah. So I just checked. This video comes out on the 7th, and which means today when this video comes out, the third Firefest documentary is going to be coming out.
The third Firefest documentary?
Which I'm actually in.
Oh, let us tell us about this Firefest documentary, Eugene.
It's directed by Joey Clift, who is a writer over at DreamWorks,
and also a previous guest on the show.
Yeah, he was a guest on the show, and he was like, you know what? There's already two documentaries about this subject. There needs to be a third, and everybody talking about it or reenacting like parts of what happened all have to be comedians. So the Pack Theater in LA is having like a red carpet today when this video comes out for this like third documentary.
How long is it anyways?
I don't know. I would assume it would be at least 40 minutes.
Nice.
But, you know, 60 people, you know, all trying to put in like a minute of content or something.
Right.
Yeah. I know that he ended up getting like some WWE wrestlers to reenact some parts and stuff.
Oh my God.
I'm very excited for this. I haven't talked to Joey in a while, but I'm excited to hear about this new see this new video.
Yeah, I'm going to have him send me a copy. You and I can like hang out and watch it.
We'll do that. We'll play some VR. We can watch it in VR together.
Hell yeah.
So let me ask you about the whole VR world. Have you ventured into doing any VR streaming yet? Or
So time has been the worst enemy for me on that because I have it. I love it. I want to do that. I know that there's tools out there because one of my biggest things for my channel is involving my chat. So I got to make sure I have that set up where you can flip the controller and see chat and be able to interact. Because that's the main core of my thing.
For sure.
And then the other challenge is so when I started streaming, I had everything in my entertainment room, like with a projector screen and that has space. That's where all my sensors are. And then now where I'm located, because obviously I would, I would be kicked out of the house if I had all this in the middle of the the entertainment room. I'm in another room adjacent to it. So like I still have all my headset and everything fed through the wall for that space to play in. And then all my other equipment's over here where I don't have the space. So trying to figure out like how I would start the broadcast and can I do it in that room? And then be able to record, and so it's going to be a project, but it's definitely something I want to do because, again, I started with doing things to try that other people liked, and then I've kind of come to the thing that like I'm just doing this for me, and then if you want to follow along with me, come along, and that's why VR I want to get involved with it because there's just so much about it is enjoyable. A lot of people haven't experienced it, so again, it's kind of being in front of something. And man, Beat Saber, I love that game.
Me and Eugene are so about Beat Saber, man. we get very competitive.
This is the sixth episode in a row we've mentioned Beat Saber.
We kind of always do, just because it's so much fun. Anyways,
yeah.
So what games besides Beat Saber are like your go-tos right now if you have any other VR games?
Well, I could probably play the Rick and Morty virtual reality game over and over and over again. Accounting Plus. Like I'm a big Rick and Morty fan, so to be like in that world and in their mind is just the most enjoyable experience. Rec Room is the goddamn greatest free game they have ever had.
Against gravity in our backyard.
Just everything about that game is fun. Raw data, right?
Raw data.
That's another great one.
Have you had a chance to play The Unspoken yet?
No.
It is one of two virtual reality esport games that exist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the other one is Echo Arena.
Huh.
And if you ever decide to get a Oculus Rift, or which VR headset do you have?
I got the Vive.
You got a Vive?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can get Revive, which basically allows you to play Oculus games on the Vive. And if you ever do, let me know, and we'll play.
All right.
I still need to play Eugene in this.
It's definitely like if it's if you're a gothic Harry Potter.
Huh.
So you're like one of like four different spell classes, or I think they got six classes now. So you have like telekinesis, or you're a pyromaniac, or you like summon blades out of your hands, or you're shooting like tiny planets at people, and there are like artifacts you can use. And if you get a chance, there are these orbs that appear in the sky, and if you're the one to break it, you get a puzzle. And if you can solve the puzzle while being attacked, you basically summon a god to go like fight for you. It is epic.
I don't know how I haven't played this yet.
YouTube it. YouTube people playing it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm still just simply getting into like the Everest, Mount Everest experience. Like just putting those things on. Like I'm still not even beyond that yet. In amazement. Wow. Just to be able like to sit in a world like Elite Dangerous. I could probably put on my headset and fly around outer space and like never take it off if I didn't have to. It's just the most amazing experience.
What was that game with like all the planets that were created at random for like ever?
Oh, you're talking about No Man's Sky?
Man's Sky. I think that would make an amazing VR game.
Yeah. They're pretty similar. I was an early adopter of No Man's Sky. I got it when it first came out and then got kind of burnt.
I think everybody who got it
back to it. I did briefly and then I got
apparently it's really good now.
So I've heard, but I just haven't had the time to pick it up again, so
maybe for a stream sometime. Just try it out. Yeah. Hey guys, we're going to revisit it.
I feel like there's so many games that are so immersive just on console that if you were able to somehow port them over to a VR version, like people would just probably get lost in them. Things like No Man's Sky, like landing on a planet and having it be something different every time, but then physically being able to like walk around on that planet and grab the flowers out and like bow and arrow or ray gun the animals there or something. It'd be really cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one I haven't got a chance to try is Doom VR. I have it. I think I paid for it too. I have yet to play it, but it's one of those things like I just need to. And I don't even know if I'll be able to handle it because like I'm not a big horror game. Like sometimes my community will get me to play a horror game just to see me squirm because I hate
it's definitely gross. But it's really interesting how they normally you don't get like, you know, an exoskeleton suit. And they add that little piece as part of the storyline. And that's how it talks about like, oh, hey, virtual reality is in Doom now because you have an exoskeleton suit. And I don't know, just knowing that there's like layers of stuff between you and like the undead or, you know, the mutated astronauts or whatever they are on, you know, planet Doom, Mars.
Whatever the lore is.
Whatever the lore is. I don't know. I feel like it's not as horrible as it could be. It's not like the horror isn't quite there. It's like being swimming with sharks versus being in a cage with sharks kind of going around you would be a really good analogy for that. Yeah, but anyway, so let's talk about your social media presence. What do you want to achieve, and how Topher and I can essentially help you today, and you know, try to give you guidelines to like continue to grow your brand.
Yeah, I mean, I think myself and every other streamer probably struggles with the growth aspect of it without being a major player on a platform, right? Because if you look at some of the top like Twitch channels, of course they're going to have this large following. But I think too often new streamers or smaller channels always get caught up in the follow for follow and kind of try to grow their number, but it's in a way that when you look back on it, you realize you really didn't grow anything. It's almost like having one because everybody else is essentially just, they're legit accounts, but they're empty follows, which don't really help you with a, you know, reach and influence to your community. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, absolutely. No. Follow for follow is actually going to impact your channels negatively. Especially if, like, YouTube catches you doing that, they'll essentially shut your channel down. If you get, like, reported and they go back and, like, oh, yeah, you know, you have 10,000 followers, you know, only 100 of them have ever actually watched your content. You know, it's just random people going to your account, logging in from somewhere, usually, like, Facebook from a DM group or something.
Well, you know, honestly, like, wouldn't, like, a follow for follow almost, like, hurt your, like, ranking in the YouTube algorithm or the Twitch algorithm? Because, like, what they want to serve people on, like, the front pages and stuff is people who have a high ratio of followers that watch, not followers that watched once, followed, and then took off and never came back.
Well, here's the thing. If you have an account that subscribes to you and has watched less than 30 seconds within the first month of being subscribed to you, YouTube will actually just unsubscribe that person.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea on that.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, little hidden things they don't really talk about.
I guess that's probably why I have so many people I thought I had subscribed to and probably probably didn't. That's nice. That's good to know that they do that, though, because, I mean, that's going to discourage these follow-for-follow and sub-for-sub groups and communities and stuff that just try and grow these people, you know?
Also, it helps you, like, continue to evolve your taste. Mm. I mean, if you outgrow, like, you know, a channel, and it maybe it was one that you weren't really into anyway, but you were like, okay, I want to follow for because one specific video impacted me. You watched it. You never go back. It's been a year. They're probably going to just, you know, remove it from your subscribe list just because, you know, they want channels that are actively performing to have audiences. And they want people to have, you know, large lists of people that they're following so they engage more with that content. And by doing this, it's essentially weeding out weak channels or channels that just aren't performing the way that some of their top, you know, channels are.
Well, I mean, it's right in line with their whole, like, YouTube demonetization for, you know, channels without X amount of views and X amount of all that stuff. And so and it's probably a good thing in the long run. It's going to suck for a lot of people when they think they're putting in all this hard work to get follow for follow and then they're have nothing to show for it.
Yeah. Does Mixer have anything like that? To your knowledge? I know you're mainly a Mixer guy now.
Yeah, it's still a little bit of a Wild West. I mean, from a partner standpoint, featuring and placement does come down a bit to, you know, how you perform. So they are going to, you know, put channels that help because they're trying to grow the platform. So if you're helping, you know, if you're being successful, they are going to help push you a little bit more and maybe get, you know, put you a little bit more center stage. And so there's an aspect of that. But at this point, I think the gap's so wide between, you know, I'd say Mixer's kind of like the second place. I mean, I guess I don't look at YouTube for YouTube gaming. I look at it for like post-production content. Mm-hmm. So I would say like Twitch and Mixer, it's kind of like one and two, but there's such a big gap between those two that I don't even think they're there yet. They're just trying to still establish, stick to their strategy, which is interactivity, and kind of, you know, forge through that way, then kind of take Twitch head on.
Is there a reason you picked to be on Mixer primarily rather than Twitch? Is it just because it was like a smaller group of fish that you might be able to stand out in front of easier?
Yeah, so it was kind of the same strategy behind creating what you see today. I was actually listening to there's a one of the, I think he's in the top 100 channels over on Twitch, Professor Broman. He has a podcast that he runs called Ask Broman. It's just basically a streamer help, from a top guy trying to help the little guy kind of learn and find his way through that industry. And he started talking about that platform. I didn't even know Twitch existed until my buddy told me, like, I was going to make YouTube videos. He's like, why don't you just stream? You just turn on a camera and go, you know?
Yeah, there's no post-production.
Yeah, because I realized I couldn't, I didn't know how to video edit, like, nor did I really have the patience. So I'm like, okay. And so that's when I first learned about Twitch. And then when you started talking about Mixer, I was like, okay, let me take a look at this. And kind of, you know, I didn't jump head first in. I kind of did like a day over there, told the community, see if they'd, you know, check it out. And the tools that they had for exposure was incredible, especially coming from Twitch, where you're just like, I got to find this medium range channel where not too many people are there, but they're enough to find me. And this, I could go over there and play Fortnite. They had Hype Zone where it would, if you had, you were in the top or you're as 10 players or less left, it could randomly pick you up and put you on that channel. And people, there'd be hundreds of people just sitting on that channel watching these, you know, final end matches.
Oh.
And it was, I mean, that was huge. I mean, like, I was going from Twitch where I think my max was like a 25 viewer average to all of a sudden being basically plopped on stage in front of 200 people. And, you know, I just leveraged that as much as I could. Like, some people were worried about trying to win it. I didn't care. I was like, hey, 200 people, how's it going? Hey, come see me, check out my channel, hit me with the follow button, and like interact with them and try to grab the attention while I could. And it helped skyrocket my channel growth. So once I got there, I was hitting Hype Zone at least once a night. The one night it was like four times in a night. So, I mean, I surpassed my Twitch following in what I was there. I was on Twitch for, I think it's somewhere between 8 months to a year, I think, like 8 months. And then in like 30 days, I had surpassed my following on Twitch over on Mixer and was on the path to partnership realistically with them. So I said my goal was to become a partner. The chances of me getting that on Twitch right now is pretty slim to none. I'm going to just go all in on Mixer and, you know, made it. And it was at my 1 year anniversary of streaming is when I got my partnership with Mixer. So
nice.
Yeah.
So what benefits do you get with partnership with Mixer then?
Well, it's weird. It's a bit almost like affiliate over on Twitch.
Oh.
A little exclusive. So you get your sub button. Like, so prior, and that was one of the things that you have to, like, a lot of people struggle with, like, moving from Twitch to Mixer because they feel that same pain, like, I'm buried on Twitch. I'm not really getting any exposure. I'm tired of talking to myself or, you know, only having this one person, and I want to get beyond that. And then moving over to Mixer where there's no monetization until you make partner. That's it. Like, you're just over there streaming. And so I had a decent sub base over on Twitch as an affiliate. And, you know, I just said, screw it. Like, my goal was partner, not to just, you know, accumulate subs. Like, I wanted to get that partnership. So I said, forgo it. Let's go. And, you know, had to bite the bullet on that one, but I knew it would pay off in the long run just by testing what I did. And so you get your sub button. Now they have Sparks, which is kind of like the Bits currency over on Twitch, but it is free. So you, like, viewers just kind of earn it by viewing, and then they can put these little stickers and do a GIF or other random things in the chat to kind of, and then it goes to like a little pool, and as you hit milestones, you get paid out. They just introduced Embers, which is like a paid version of that. That's all partner only right now. Like, people can still spend Sparks on a non-partner channel. It just doesn't financially impact that channel. And then I think for me, it was just partnership was, people started to take me seriously, like the, you know, not just the community, but in the industry, you know, companies look at you differently when you have that partnership. And so it was, that's pretty much about it. And then the exposure, like I said, featuring like your feature tile, like on the main page of Mixer, that is for the most part, always a partner channel. They have channel one over there, which is very similar to Hype Zone, but all that does is rotate through partners. And now they have about, because people go on there and they farm Sparks and stuff like that. So it's not the most talkative channel, but it puts you in front of, you know, like right now, I think they're sitting around 5,000 viewers in that channel.
Jeez.
And so what it does is it puts you at the very top of the whole platform, like in the directories, top stream as soon as you hit it. So again, it's just leveraging that opportunity, and it's a exposure tool you would never get over on Twitch.
That's pretty cool. Seems like you've like really taken into account like really all the different touch points where you can like kind of leverage it. Do you have a reason, like, do you, sorry, let me restate that. Do you also stream on Twitch simultaneously, or is that discouraged by Mixer, or?
So that's a touchy subject. Mixer doesn't care, which is cool.
Oh, that's good.
Twitch does. Well, technically they do. As last, I haven't read their terms of service in quite a while, but like a year ago when I read it, as an affiliate, if your content can be monetized, you're technically not, they technically own your content for 24 hours. And then it could be broadcast anywhere else. So technically, if you're an affiliate on Twitch, I shouldn't be streaming on Mixer.
Right.
And Twitch at the same time. Even if I'm pushing my Mixer stream to Twitch, there's kind of a conflict there. But, you know, you may find me on both.
I wonder if you just, like, set up, like, a secondary, like, a complete secondary streaming computer so you could do both. But then you had, like, a web service that mixed your chats. But you actually had two separate total streams going. Do you get around those interesting little things?
Yeah, I mean, I have alerts set up for pretty much everything. So like when you watch my channel, if you follow on one or the other, or like on DLive as well, that's a new platform, like the alerts still pop. So like it's very seamless.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is like if I'm talking to somebody in my like Mixer chat, if you're like say on DLive, you might be like, well, who's he talking to, or what's he talking about? And that's kind of, that's the one struggle, I guess, with that whole multi-streaming setup. But for me, I'm just trying to get reach, trying to get exposure, have people find me. I mean, because, you know, right now, you know, my end goal is hopefully at some point to be able to be a full-time creator. And I don't know if that's doable right now in the Mixer ecosphere. So I'm just kind of, you know, putting my...
Building your influencer status, getting your name out there, building that persona, and then, you know, wherever the wind might take you, if you have that base on Mixer, you can, if you ever want to take it off of Mixer, you can probably take it to the next place. Because if you got a loyal fan base, they'll follow you anywhere you go, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, like, DLive is a pretty interesting platform. It's still in a very infancy phase. I guess it's built pretty, the population, I think it started over in Turkey. So they have a lot of Turkish streams, but it's catching wind. And I've seen a lot of actual like partners. They just moved over a big Twitch partner. He was a full-time Twitch partner. He just made the plunge and said, you know what, I'm going straight to DLive. They're the only platform that actually pays viewers. So it's built on blockchain, and then you get this, the Lino points, and the Lino points you can just convert over into your PayPal account. So as a viewer, you sit there and you watch my stream. Now you actually get compensated. You can donate those Lino points to me as almost like the sparks or bits. And that turns into currency, and I'm not even partnered to receive that benefit. So, and it's like a self-sustaining ecosystem, which is pretty interesting.
Kind of sounds like the Steemit platform, which is kind of like a blockchain run Reddit type of website, where like users, depending on how many upvotes they get, they actually get Steemit coin, which can then be converted into currency and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's virtually the same thing.
Yeah. Right on.
All right.
Well, it does look like we're coming up on time. Is there anything you wanted to ask before we headed out of here and ducked out of here, Gene?
No. I think this was, you know, a good hangout sesh.
Yeah. I mean, we had
with the creator of the Bro Nation.
Yeah, we had a couple of technical difficulties before we started, but we got through it, guys. We got through it. Right on, man. Well, where can all the people find you? If you want to throw out all your social links so people can go give you a follow and a sub and watching you.
Yeah, I mean, basically any social media from Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all just Deputy Geek, and it's Deputy Geek G33K, not EEK. You know, gotta be elite hacker. And then we got YouTube. Well, let's start with Mixer, my home, right? Mixer, Deputy Geek, Twitch, Deputy Geek, DLive, Deputy Geek, and YouTube, Deputy Geek. So,
right on, man. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and taking the time to hang out and chill with us. But yeah, my name's Topher Welsh.
I'm Eugene Kappen.
And we'll see you next time, guys. Stay glitched.